Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. We thank you very much for your ears this morning. We ask that you hold your phone calls until after the top of the hour news. After that, if you'd like to give us a phone call and ask questions of our clients or of our guest, pardon me, or make a comment, by all means, feel free to do so. The number, if you want to jot it down now, is 541-472-1270, 1270. When you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in the queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live. In the meantime, this is a very special program that has been done annually here on KAJO Radio since long before I was ever part of it, and that's been some time. At the end of the year, we always invite our friends from Alcoholics Anonymous in to give us some insights and perhaps some perspective and some guidance as we get through a very, might be a difficult time for some on New Year's Eve. In the meantime, though, if you're looking for help, there are places to get help, and let me share some of that with you right now. The Central Office of Alcoholics Anonymous in Grants Pass is at 432 Northwest 6th Street, Suite 302. A helpline is available 24/7. At 541-474-0782. And there's a website. It's grantspassaa.com. And that lists your meeting times and locations. The Central Office of Alcoholics Anonymous in Medford is at 116 East 6th Street. That helpline was available 24/7. That number, 541-732-1850. The website is jccoaa.org. And once again, that's for meeting times and locations. And for family members of loved ones with a drinking problem that's Al-Anon or Alateen, there's a 1-866-504-6974, and the website is findrecovery.com. So we'll share that information with you several times throughout the program. In the meantime, I want to introduce our guest. In fact, I'll let our guests introduce themselves this morning. And welcome to the microphones of KAJO Radio. Ladies, first, introduce yourselves.
My name's Susan.
Hi, Susan.
Hi.
And?
I'm Les.
Hi, Les.
And I'm Jay.
Hi, Jay. All right, gentlemen and ladies, I want to thank you very much for coming in this morning. And I'm not sure which way this program is going to go this morning. So I'll just start with Susan here. And Susan, why don't you tell me part of your story and how you arrived here today? I'll put you right on the spot.
Jeez, okay. Well, how I arrived here today is I was asked to come and participate on behalf of Alcoholics Anonymous. I have been sober for just over 39 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And celebrate my birthday actually in November, which is right before the holiday season, which is kind of an interesting time to get sober. I realized that I had a drinking problem. I had known about AA from family members, and when it was my time, I just started going to meetings and went with an open mind and some willingness and heard what we talk about a lot of times in the meetings. I started to hear my stories, and I thought, well, if this worked for these people, maybe this could work for me. And that was it. I just stuck. I certainly did not do it perfectly. I did not do a lot of what was suggested. I went to meetings, and I did not drink in between, and the years have stacked up.
Before that first meeting, what was the deciding factor that made you go?
Well, my life wasn't working well. I knew that I was getting in trouble. I was drinking too much. I was driving while I was drinking, which was horrifying to me. Thankfully, I didn't have any real bad consequences from that. A friend of mine had gotten sober and said that he thought I was an alcoholic. And I knew about Alcoholics Anonymous from my family. And I thought, wow, what if that's it? What if it's that I drink too much? And so I just went with the curiosity that maybe I could have a better life if I didn't drink.
When he told you he thought you were an alcoholic, how did that fit you? How did you take that? Was that a surprise?
You don't want to know.
Okay.
There was lots of gnashing of teeth and slamming of doors, and I got really angry.
A little denial?
Oh, total denial.
Okay.
And then, on a resentment, I didn't drink for a couple days to prove him wrong.
I'll show him.
And what I think was one of my first spiritual experiences, I recognized, even in that twisted, angry little brain, that I felt better. And that was the start for me.
After those 2 days.
If I feel better when I don't drink, maybe I ought not to drink. And one of the wonderful things about AA is all it requires is a desire to stop drinking. You don't have to come in here convinced you're alcoholic.
Okay. All right. Thank you. More to come from Susan. I want to move on down the line. Les, I'm going to throw you right under the bus here. Les, you want to share part of your story with us?
Sure. My name is Les. I'm a member of AA. I go to meetings regularly. I've been sober a little over 30 years. I had an obsession that I wanted to be able to figure out how to enjoy my drinking without the consequences, and I made a lot of attempts at that, and would have failed at it. My life had come to the place where I had everything that I cared about in the world, everything that I loved, everything that I had worked for was taken out of my life because of my drinking. And so I had known about Alcoholics Anonymous before. I had attended a couple times or more and decided that I wasn't really an alcoholic, that I could control it on my own. And after a period of time, I just went, I need help. And I ended up showing up at Alcoholics Anonymous and started the process. I went to meetings. Wasn't sure I wanted to be a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I wasn't really impressed with the program or the people, especially. I thought, you know, they kept going around the room and telling how badly they had messed up their lives, and then they suggested I was supposed to get one of them to help with mine, and I thought that didn't make sense. But it turns out that not only not drinking, you know, changed my life right away. I immediately saw results, you know, and things got better. But I have a way of life that enables me to have an amazing life without just not drinking wouldn't be enough for me. I have to have the fellowship and the other things that go along with it.
Now, a couple of things you said. First of all, one word popped out at me, and that's consequences. What consequences were you facing because of your drinking?
Oh, I lost my business. My wife and children were gone. I had properties I lost. You know, just over a period of time, they just seemed to disappear out of my life. And my friends, I didn't have any friends. My family didn't want me to come to their houses anymore because I was always intoxicated. And I didn't act well when I was drinking. And, you know, those are a sample.
All right. You also said you thought you let's see if I heard this correctly. You thought you could control your life and still drink at the same time. And that was not the case. And when did you decide that?
That was not the case. I would try a number of things to get control of the drinking. And then at one point, I just stopped trying to control the drinking, and I just started to try to control the consequences of my drinking. And it was a hard thing to come to. I mean, I had to really hit bottom before I was willing to realize that there was no way I was going to control it, that if I was going to survive, that I was going to have to not drink at all.
All right, and that led you to AA. What was the first step towards AA?
I knew about AA, and I'd heard about it. I knew that they had a building on Bridge Street at Lincoln. They had a club there where they had meetings, and I just headed down there and went in there, and I went to meetings every day for a while. It was a difficult thing, you know, being sober in the beginning. It was a shock, you know. I had to learn how to do everything without alcohol that I had been doing, the simplest tasks, the job that I had. I had to learn how to do it without being intoxicated. I had to learn how to do simple things like balance your checkbook or everything. I had to relearn how to do it. And so it was uncomfortable for the first year or so, but it was better because I felt better. And so I just kept doing it until finally I realized that what I was doing was changing my life and making it better.
All right. Well, I'm glad your life is better, Les. I'm going to move on down here to Jay. Jay, you want to share with us this morning?
My name is Jay, and I am in recovery. You know, I came from a family where drugs and alcohol were introduced to me as early as 5, 6 years old, and I never really thought that there was a problem.
Can I interrupt you just 1 second? Jay, how long have you been in recovery?
26 years.
26 years, and you're still in recovery.
Correct.
Okay. All right. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I thought that was a valid point we needed to point out.
Well, I came in at 29 years of age, mm-hmm. and now I'm 55 years. But I had used probably from 6 to 29.
From 6?
Yeah. Well, smoking pot was a family tradition, and that's just how I grew up.
Okay.
So anyway, 1991, I ended up getting a DUI, which brought me to a treatment program. And the treatment program was my first introduction to a different idea about how I might live my life without drugs or alcohol. And specifically, you know, I got 30 days, 60 days, 30 days, 20 days, 30 days, you know, multiple times in that two- or three-year period before I graduated from my community college and got off probation, you know, because of my DUI and some other stuff. And I moved over to Southern Oregon from Ontario, Oregon, Eastern Oregon, right? And it was 9 years later, 1999, that I came back to Alcoholics Anonymous, because one of the things we experience or say in recovery is, if we don't think we have a problem, let's go back out and research and find out if I can drink like other people, if I can drink normally, if I can have the quality of life I want to have while I'm drinking. And it took me 8 or 9 years to figure that out. I ended up with, like I said, with that second DUI. And if I would have waited just one more year, then I could have taken another diversion program, but I couldn't. So I had to go through Choices Counseling Center at the time. And I got an introduction to treatment. About what really stuck for me was going to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I got a sponsor, and I read the program material, and I developed a sense of purpose and meaning and connection with other people in my life in ways that I never could do before. So it was another year or two before my life really started to change. But when it did, oh my goodness, I would never have been able to guess what life could be like as I was, for the first time in that 29 years, 30 years now, clean, sober, and I had found a higher power. And that higher power kind of took away the emptiness that I didn't know could be fixed. I had spent several years in therapy prior to that point, trying to deal with childhood this or childhood that. But the long story short was, I had a fundamental void that only a God of my higher power really was able to, like, fill me up and create this opportunity where I could feel whole and well and shame-free and kind of provided inspired life for me all over again in ways that I just could not have imagined were possible. And mind you, no offense to the world of education or healthcare, I was just about to graduate my master's program in counseling the month before I found myself needing to get sober because of that last DUI. So since then, my perspective on what makes people well and healthy has really shifted from that scientific practitioner point of view to spiritual awareness point of view. So with that, I'll open this back up to whatever questions are next.
All right. Just let me follow through with that, see if I have grasped a part of your story. The first DUI put you into a diversion program, second DUI another diversion program. That's very clinical. And those lasted for a while or helped you for a while, but you went back to see if you could control your drinking and still have that same quality of life. Couldn't, and then went to AA. And what was the difference between AA and those diversion problems? Have I hit that correctly?
Well, what I'll resummarize is in the first program, it was a requirement of probation.
Mm-hmm.
And once I got through probation and I didn't have that monkey over my back looking over my shoulder anymore, then I didn't have to do what I was being asked to do. So I went back out to research and determine whether or not this is a big decision. Am I unable to, like, deal with life with or without alcohol? And so I wanted to be for certain. The second time, I had everything externally going my way from a vocational, financial, external perspective. And at the same time, I was empty and kind of insecure and afraid and alone in this world, you know. And it ended up with me continuing to drink and drive, and I got that second DUI, so I went into this second treatment program. And treatment programs dumped a lot of skills on me, but they never really made me feel better in the long run. Treatment programs brought me back to Alcoholics Anonymous. And that is where I found my purpose, my meaning, my fellowship, my connections, my higher power. And all I had to do was suit up, show up, go to a meeting, read the big book, as we call it, the basic text of Alcoholics Anonymous. And for me, I also learned from Narcotics Anonymous, because that was part of my story, part of my life. But I don't know if that answered your question.
But it does. It does. And I think gives people another perspective that AA offers certainly a different approach than the clinical approach, is the way I would phrase it. And it worked for you.
Worked for me.
It is working for
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Okay, all right. Reference to a higher power. And I'm going to go back to Susan and say, Susan, what does that higher power mean to you? Can you explain that to us?
It's been a lot of different things to me. I was raised in a religious practice. And so I had a quote-unquote God of my misunderstanding, perhaps. When I got sober, kind of what I think Jay's been sort of referencing is my spiritual life, there was nothing personal to me. And my understanding of a God was not helpful in healing me from my act of alcoholism. And what I found in Alcoholics Anonymous is there is definitely a focus on finding some power greater than oneself. And that can be anything, which is one of the great gifts of AA. You can find what works for you. Many people find it is nature, or one of the stories that we'll sometimes say is, you know, can you go down and stand at the beach and stop the waves? No. Well, that's a power greater than you. And that's all that's really required for me anyway to start with, is to recognize that I am not the ultimate authority in this world. There is something beyond me. And the longer I've stayed sober and grown older in life, I find great comfort in that. And I don't need to have a definition. I work to deepen my spiritual self. And that's been a lot of different things. Nature is certainly part of it. I do some meditation. I've gone to different churches. I went back and made peace with the church of my youth when I was about 10 years sober, which was very, very important and helpful to me. And today I don't really care to try to ID what God is. I just recognize that I believe in something greater than myself. Sometimes it's just the unity of the group. I don't know if that's really answering your question, but it gets me out of being the driver's seat. You know, I like to think that I'm just along for the ride, and I let my higher power lead the way.
All right. Right, Les, have you chosen a higher power? What's your higher power? What's your definition?
My higher power has evolved over the years. I did not know whether there was a deity or a god or any of that. I didn't understand. I saw religions as not having what I thought I wanted in my life. And so when they suggested that I needed to do that, I kind of paid attention. You know, I'm going, well, maybe I'm looking, you know, maybe I'm not seeing what I need to see. And what happened was, they suggest in Alcoholics Anonymous a lot of praying, and they don't say who or how. They make suggestions. You can do whatever you want. The program is very much focused on God as you understand Him, and you get to decide what that is, and nobody tells you what you can believe or not believe, like sometimes they do in churches or whatever. I said a prayer just because it was suggested, and I got an answer. What I thought was an answer. It was a spiritual experience because all the voices in my head were paying attention at the same time, which was unusual, you know.
All the voices. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, the committee, you know, was paying attention all at the same time. Nobody was talking. Everybody was looking. And so I thought, this is something big is going on. And so over the years, it's evolved. I tried going to different churches and see if I could, you know, hook up that way. I didn't find that for myself. I did give it quite a long run. And I don't know if there's a God or not. I'm not smart enough to figure that out, but I do know that prayer works. I've used that over the years, and it has given me the life that I have, and I'm really, really grateful.
So that's important to you?
Yes. Okay. Very important. It's very important.
All right. We're coming up to the top of the hour, ladies and gentlemen. I want to get some numbers out here once again before we get into the news. If you're looking for help 24/7, there's a 24/7 number available here in Grants Pass at 541-474-0782. There are meetings, I think, going on, and I can get more information on this momentarily, at 432 Northwest 6th Street, Suite 202 here in Grants Pass, Oregon. Meeting times and locations listed at grantspassaa.com. In Medford, the number is 541-732-1850. That's 24/7 at 116 East 6th Street in Medford. Meeting times and locations are at jccoaa.org. And for Alateen, 1-866-504-6974. And we'll continue, ladies and gentlemen, with the Tuesday Talk Show when we return right after the news at the top of the hour.
Attention veterans,
Welcome back to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, the phone lines are open. If you have a question or comment for our guest today, that number is 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in the queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on there live and let you hear your question or comment directly to our guest from Alcoholics Anonymous. We have Susan, Jay, and Les in studio today. And I want to thank each one of you individually for coming in and sharing your stories. Most definitely, they're certainly heart-wrenching, and we expect to be helpful to some people out there. And with the big holiday coming up tomorrow night, New Year's Eve, traditionally a night of revelry that usually revolves around some sort of recreational drug. I want everybody to be safe and sound. And once again, I want to put out some numbers here just in case you're looking for help. The helpline is at 541-474-0782. That's for Grants Pass. The meeting office is at 432 North, or the office is at 432 Northwest 6th Street, Suite 202. And for meeting times and locations, it's grantspassaa.com. In Medford, 541-732-1850. The office is at 116 East Street, or East 6th Street in Medford. And it's jccoaa.org for meeting times and locations. And for Al-Anon and Alateen, for members of loved ones who have a drinking problem, it's 1-866-504-6974. And now back to our guest here. And if you have people out there right now who might be wondering about the situation or saying, might be in a little bit of denial, saying, I don't need a program, what would you tell them to assess their lifestyle right now and see if that would move them into AA? Susan, we'll start with you, ladies, first again.
Well, one of the things is it's a very personal decision. No one can decide for another if they are alcoholic. I think for me, I can only speak my own experience. It was when somebody called me out on my drinking behavior, and I had a moment to sit and look at my patterns of behavior. And clearly I was out of control with my drinking. So it wasn't a huge decision for me. It was, I guess the decision was, did I want to continue on? And I was tired. I was not, I had not been drinking alcoholically for a particularly long time. And I was really tired of just the same thing day after day and making promises to myself and to others. And then the moment I pick up a drink, all bets are off. I have no idea how much I'm going to drink, how long it's going to go on. I'm not accountable for my behavior. I behaved in ways, drunk driving is just a horrible thing to do. And I did it repeatedly. And that's not the type of human I wanted to be. So when I had
Now,
a
when
moment,
you were driving drunk, were you under the impression that you were fine?
No, God, no.
Okay.
I was well aware that I was not fine. And yet, the next day, there I would be again. There's something nutty about that. Normal people do not behave that way. And so that's what I did. I looked at my behaviors and started comparing what would a non-problem drinker do and what was I doing. And it was, for me, we talk about this in our book and in our meetings, I came to the educational realization that I had this disorder of alcoholism. I wasn't certain of it when I came in. The longer I stayed sober, the more I realized all these destructive and alcoholic behaviors that I was engaging in, and I didn't want to do it anymore.
Okay. All right. Liz, if there's someone out there who might be just on the edge of trying to decide whether to avail themselves of the services of Alcoholics Anonymous or they're in denial, what would you say to them right now? Is there one characteristic that you could point out that says you might need help?
Well, if you're thinking you might have a problem, you probably do. And my suggestion is to go to a meeting. Mm-hmm. And see what's happening. You know, one of the most important things that has to happen in the beginning is they have to be able to identify themselves as an alcoholic. And by listening to our stories, every once in a while somebody goes, oh, wow, that's me. You know, I can relate to that.
Is that the toughest part, is admitting it?
Yeah, admitting that they have a problem. And once that happens, it's, you know, half the battle's over. You know, if you're not sure, just go down to the... We have meetings at the club. We have meetings all over the place. You can go online, and there's a bunch of meetings, especially during the holiday. We don't shut down during the holiday. We amplify our meetings. We have, for New Year's Eve, we have marathon meetings, which will be meetings every hour You know, so you just show up anytime.
Ongoing tomorrow, right?
Right, ongoing. And then there'll be online, there'll be Zoom meetings. If you can't make it down there but you want to go to a meeting, you can go on online and go to a Zoom meeting and have that experience. So that's the best thing to do is just come check it out.
Okay. All right. Jay, what would you say to somebody right now who might be in denial right now or right on the edge of saying, something's not right in my life?
One of the things that is just so central to self-awareness is self-honesty. Mm-hmm. And if we've made, you know, mistakes, if we've, you know, tried to quit drinking in the past, if we've tried to manage our drinking, if we've tried to manage the consequences of our drinking or drug use, you know, it's all relative, then come up with a plan and stop drinking, stop using for a little while, and move forward with your life. If you can't do that, or if that doesn't work long term for you, then yeah, come to a meeting. Pick up the phone, call, ask us a question. We'll be glad to answer any question that comes right here, right now. I think it's the 472 KJO, right?
472-1270. Very good. You get a star.
All right. And, you know, it's really a program of inner self and innermost examination. If you are able to have a conversation with yourself, sometimes journaling may be a way to get real with yourself. Sometimes it may be talking to a loved one or a friend. Sometimes it is just sitting quietly and listening to the dialogue between your ears. And, you know, for me, I get a lot of insight if I just quiet down the chatter of what everybody else is telling me, and I listen to what me and my higher power, my sense of right and wrong, my conscience is telling me. And as such, that's one of our greatest guides, greatest gifts.
I want to ask you a little further question here, because we've been talking about primarily drinking, but you're the only one who really alluded to other drugs or narcotics here. Is there a difference between the two problems, in your opinion or in your experience?
Well, I think there are certainly some physiological differences between the way alcohol affects the body, mm-hmm. and creates its own unique craving process and metabolism process. It's scientifically different than, let's say, methamphetamine, mm-hmm. or cannabis, mm-hmm. or fentanyl or heroin. Everything has its own unique addictive process, nature, and qualities. So lump them all together, in many ways, the process is very, very similar. But uniquely, each of these things can have its own process path.
All right, but AA will deal with it all.
Well,
the process through AA.
Unless you have a problem with alcohol, you should not go to AA. If you have a problem with methamphetamines, then you should go to Narcotics Anonymous.
Okay, all right.
But if you have a problem with methamphetamines and alcohol, then you can go to Alcoholics Anonymous and work through the development of a higher power, the self-honesty, the patterns, the self-awareness, and you can do the work of recovery through Alcoholics Anonymous if you have a problem with alcohol. And the other stuff kind of can get lumped into it as well. But you may find that you may want to go to Narcotics Anonymous as well, because there's some people with other particular life experience and insight, because they've also struggled with methamphetamine, or they've also struggled with it, whatever the other drug is. And you can find that.
You find that it's mixed very often?
I would have to say that's on an individual basis, okay. Really.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show. We've got great people here from Alcoholics Anonymous. I've got a commercial break coming up, but I want to leave these phone numbers with you one more time, and then we'll be right back. But the helpline 24/7 in Grants Pass is 541-474-0782. And in Medford, it's 541-732-1850. And it's once again 24/7 for Al-Anon or Al-Ateen, for family members who have a loved one with a drinking problem. It's 1-866-504-6974. And we'll be back right after these important messages.
Are you ready for your new...
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. Some guests here have graciously made an appearance from Alcoholics Anonymous. We certainly appreciate Susan, Jay, and Les for showing up. Alcoholics Anonymous is a 12-step program that has proven over years and years to work. So I'm going to start with Susan again. Susan, what was the toughest step for you out of 12? You got 12 choices. What's the toughest one?
Oh, geez. I guess the toughest one was the first one, is admitting that I was powerless over alcohol and that my life had become unmanageable. And that's the one that we say is the only one you ever really have to do perfectly. So that took me a while and has been mentioned by my fellows here. I just kept going to meetings and not drinking, and slowly I came to believe that that was the case for me. I didn't believe it at the beginning.
So you're still going to meetings and you still don't believe you're an alcoholic?
No, I believe I am now.
Now you do, but then you didn't in those first few meetings?
I wasn't certain that I was, no. Mm-hmm. I knew that there was something going on in those rooms that I didn't have in my life. I knew that I felt better when I didn't drink. And then I started looking about my family history, my behavior, as I've mentioned earlier, and added up to realizing, though, this is what alcoholism looks like. And I don't know when I made that magic decision. And it doesn't matter. I recognize that my life is better when I'm active in Alcoholics Anonymous, don't drink, work the steps, and work on my connection to a higher power.
All right. How long have you been an alcoholic? How long have you been sober?
Just over 39 years.
Just over 39 years. And you're still that active because you still need it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I need it, and part of our program is helping others. That's why we're here this morning. So I want to continue to be a person that helps the AA message get out to those who are suffering. It was there for me. A hand was there for me when I needed it. I want to be sure that I help keep the rooms open and the program alive. And left to my own devices, it's easy to slip back into old patterns of thinking, if not behaviors. So it's, my father once said, it's kind of like my church. And I like that. You know, why do you go to church? To be reminded of what it is you're working toward. And AA keeps me, one of our other sayings is to stay in the herd and getting to meetings.
Stay
in the center. You don't want to be an outlier, right? Those are the ones that get picked off.
Okay. So, all right. Okay.
To stay in my group and participating. And I've found that it's a great way of life.
All right. Les, I'll bet that first step in the program, as Susan just outlined, is probably the hardest step for everybody. So that one aside, what's the next hardest step for you of those 12 steps?
I think the next hardest was because we do an inventory process where we and to realized that my problems were my own making. For a lot of years, I believed that stuff was happening to me. I was a victim of whatever was going on in my life, and I was just doing the best I could with what I had to work with. To be able to take responsibility for what was happening was a big deal for
okay.
me.
Okay, so it's your own fault.
My problems are on my own making. Yeah. Not everything that happened to me was my fault, but definitely what was happening in my life was definitely because of me. Mm-hmm. And that if it was going to change, I would have to change.
All right. Thank you. All right, Jay. Tough. What's the tough step for you?
You know, when I first came in, you know, they said change everything. You only have to change one thing, so change everything. And I knew from my prior experience 9 years before that I had to do this thing for real. And so what I had in the back of my mind was I was going to have to go up to Portland and dress up in the orange suits with the other, I can't remember the name of them, Krishnas maybe.
Okay.
And stick bracelets on people's arms as they went by and tell them, you know, go with God, believe in God. And I was like, oh, God. So really, it was just the hardest part for me. It was just the willingness to do whatever I had to do. And, you know, fortunately, I was about to lose everything, you know, with my career. And in my personal life, I, you know, only had ego to lose, which was everything. But getting to that point of willingness, and I think that, it, you know, is between step one. I knew I was powerless and my life had become unmanageable, but I didn't realize what else there could be. So I was ready for step two, which was, dear God, whatever it is, I'm going to make this work. And that was the scariest part, is thinking it was just going to be some obnoxious torture that was going to have to be my reality for the rest of my life. But that would have been better than what I had going on when I came.
I suspect you were kind of a rogue, pardon me, kind of a rogue and say, I don't want to do all these 12 steps. I can fix this anyway, but thanks for the help. Is that fair?
Well, I came in with a great intellectual capacity, as so I thought. I saw all those 12 steps on the wall where they're like, and I did them in my head, and I'm like, I already got this. I don't need to be told what to do.
Okay.
So I talked to my sponsor, and my sponsor was able to just, if you're ready, then let's get down on our hands and knees. And we'll ask for God's will to, like, carry us through. So we prayed to be better people. We prayed for God's will to be apparent in our lives. And for an egotistical maniac like me, when I first got here, that was a very beautiful, humbling, open experience that allowed me to shift into a sense of I get, take from the world to, wow, I need to give. Mm. And that's what I found now. And maybe it's step 12, but you know, I have a deep, meaningful sense of joy and peace and happiness in my life now because my job is to serve my fellow man, serve my community, serve, you know, the animals in the world. You know, I am so grateful that I get to give back.
All right. Friends, and I hope I can call you friends right now. I'm very, very short on time right now. But I want to give each one of you a moment or two. to encourage someone out there or to give a word of advice to someone who might be right on the edge or someone who is over the edge and flailing right now, whatever it is. And so once again, ladies first, if you have one quick piece of advice, one insight into the inside of what's going on in that committee's head.
So. I would just say, like Les has already said, if you're thinking that you have a problem, chances are you do. We've heard it all, we've done it all, and you'll find that there's a welcoming, loving, supportive group, and you can come and give it a try, see if it helps you.
Yeah. Okay. Les, all right. One quick thought on someone who might need some help this weekend, this great holiday.
Well, you know, I fought coming and doing this. There certainly had to be another way, a plan B. I certainly could control my life if I put my mind to it, but the reality is that this has been a life-changing experience, and had I known what was going to happen, I would have joined a lot earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay, all right. Jay, final thought today. What do you want to say to someone out there who might need some help or doesn't think they need the help but are considering it?
Unless you're driving, close mm-hmm. your eyes.
Okay.
And be with yourself for a moment and imagine what it would be like if you were at peace with the world and if everything was okay and you didn't have to like struggle to make it work anymore. You can find that in recovery. Mm-hmm. And join us as we trudge the road of happy destiny. And I hope to see you someday.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. Now, yeah, you hope to see somebody someday. We have long meetings tomorrow. I'm assuming this is talking about the High-Low Club on Lincoln. Yeah. And
marathon meetings.
Marathon meetings. Okay. When you nod your heads on radio, it doesn't come through. I've got to hear sound, folks.
Yes.
All right. Yes. So the marathon meetings, do we know what time yet?
I believe they start at 8 p.m. tomorrow and go to 8 a.m. the following. It's on the website. You can find out. This is at the High-Low Club in person. You needn't be alone. It's a safe place to be with fellows.
All right. The website is grantspassaa.com. That lists those meeting times specifically. 24/7 advice available at 541-474-0782. The central office is at 432 Northwest 6th Street. Suite 202 here in Grants Pass. Now, if you're in Medford, the number is 541-732-1850. And for a list of their meeting times in that area, it's jccoaa.org. Okay. And for Al-Anon, Al-Ateen, those are for family members of loved ones who have a drinking problem, and that spills over to that family. It's 1-866-504-6974. And to our guest today, Susan, Jay, and Les, thank you all very much for sharing. We certainly appreciate your time and your stories today. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. Happy New Year, everyone.
Affordable Truck and RV.